Fred Film Radio from Torino Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the 41st Torino Film Festival, specifically from the Torino Film Lab. I'm Angela Cerbi here with Jessica Woodworth, director of Luca. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Your film is part of the section dedicated to the Torino Film Lab because your film was developed through the script lab of the Torino Film Lab.
Yeah.
Your film has a huge link with Italy because it is inspired by the Tartar Steppe by Dino Buzzati, and it was shot in Italy. And it has a great style in terms of aesthetics and of direction too. So can you tell us something about the adaptation or the inspiration that Dino Buzzati gave you?
Yeah. So my first chew on the book was when I was 18, you know. Confrontation one. You fall off a cliff, and it's a book full of enigma and mirrors, and you see yourself, even though it's so abstract. Mm-hmm. And you revisit the book a decade later, and then a decade later, and I'll stop there. And I had this very great hunger to adapt, and this was the natural choice. And the Adapt Lab was on the horizon, and I was between other films, and I thought it would be a great challenge to ambitious, but a great challenge to use this book as a point of departure, because I thought I've seen, of course, the Zurlini version of 1976, which is very monumental and very. It's a classic. The book is part of the DNA of the Italian people, and as well. So this is a big mountain to climb. But I felt entitled because the book is outside of space, time, culture, geography, everything. And I thought this is also my book, you know. And I felt comfortable with this jumping off this cliff. And I love inside the book this innate sensuality, and I love the humor. Because I find it quite funny. I really do. And then I love this, like, terror. The book is inhabited. My interpretation is this total terror in the face of this, the abysses that open up in the story. And I love the fact that the minute you start to understand something, it evaporates. It disappears. Mm-hmm. And I really, really wanted to preserve that on screen, that the moment you feel like you're arriving at some realization, something crystallizing, it collapses. Or it disappears in Etna fog, mm-hmm. which is our case.
And even if, as you said, the Zurlini's version is completely different from yours, but there is a kind of similarity in terms of aesthetics, because it's simple and essential,
yes.
Both his and yours, in different ways. I mean, but there is this kind of need to strip everything down in order to not to overcharge too much.
It's very interesting you say that. You're the first to say that, but you're absolutely right, because I think the process here in the book, it requires this. You have to essentialize constantly and ask yourself, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Is it necessary? And I did that constantly from day one. For example, color was not necessary for me. Blue is a total distraction. I didn't want any green. I don't want anything to do with brown. So black and white was naturally the vocabulary of the film. And then the spaces had to have a degree of emptiness, and then of course there's the study of lenses, you know, how to hold on to it so it doesn't fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the silences as well, which you have to consider from day one. Yeah.
Which is true that the silence. I didn't think about the silence, but there is not much music in the film.
No.
There is when it's needed.
Yes,
and it's very wonderful. Because
that's Teo Teardo.
Italian composer, one of the best, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But you were brave enough not to be taken away by the beauty of the music when it was not needed, which is a mistake that's very often done, you know, to overcharge,
we had to walk this delicate line constantly, keeping the viewer engaged. I mean, a bunch of guys waiting is a recipe for disaster on screen. I mean, in the script, Luca staring at the horizon was 75 times, and the financiers were like, this isn't going to work. So how do you keep attention? You have to trust. Mm-hmm. Trust the viewer. You know, trust the viewer that when they fall into something that feels slightly empty, they have to fill it up themselves.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And not enough films grant us that space and time. And I think that people are hungry for that. So if you're open for it, and if you give in to that, and also to the physicality of the film, because I wanted it to be a very visceral experience, it's all coming from the gut. Yeah. It's not a cerebral journey, this. Not really.
No.
You can fuss around and make it one, sure, but that's not the point. So it's supposed to be a very physical journey through the story.
And you managed to have like a very perfectly chosen cast. No, because they were very... The three young soldiers, they are perfectly, they are very different, but they have the same soul, but very different aspects, so which is, and I mean, you know, involving for us viewers to know what is going to happen. And then another thing I want to ask you besides casting is the location.
Yes, so...
The location is... Couldn't be anywhere else.
It's astounding. It can't be anywhere else. And strangely, it was written for Armenia. And all the locations were chosen, and the whole film was ready to go, and war came in the form of the Azeris. Mm. So Azerbaijan and Armenia went to war. And then we had to move this whole massive ship to another location. And very naturally, I called our partner, Flaminio Zadra, the producer in Italy, in Rome, whom I had met at the lab. And I said... what do you think? And he said, "Whoa, what about Etna? Etna." And I thought, I had been there as a child and remembered sticking a stick in the lava and it bursting into flames. And little did I know. So Etna became the north. And I went there and I was following the collection of Sicilia Incompiuta, which is the sort of an architecture school of study about the 350 plus abandoned public works in Sicily. And among these works are, you know, Olympic sized swimming pools that are 49 meters long, bridges that go nowhere, and La Diga di Blufi above Palermo, this unfinished dam, which is ripe with story. And when they finally realized that we weren't making an investigative documentary about corruption in Sicily, we had the authorization to shoot there.
Which gives the film this kind of fantastic science fiction.
Yeah, because it's
Dune,
outside.
Star Wars.
Dune, yeah. You know, talk because, about Dune. Yeah,
because
it was
it's exactly far less expensive, I believe. But
I think the budget for the shoes in Dune were the budget of this film.
But then, you know, the feeling that this location, this place is. Give us is exactly what you were saying. You know, emptiness. Time is still, and you're there. Just wait for don't know what.
And waiting for what?
Yeah. And it can kind of gives kind of an existential feel to it. You know, to make you think about.
Well, that was my wish. To think maybe after the fact, maybe to carry away to open up some things and stir around some things and carry away a vague, strange memory. It's a disturbance. This is not the intent is not to appeal many films strive to do. It's really to wake up and startle and churn things a little, like.
And those places actually are at the same time very beautiful and very disturbing in terms of not making you
uncomfortable.
They're not safe. But with pleasure.
Nonetheless. Listen,
how long did you shoot?
We had not enough days. Like everybody, I think about 33 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, not so long.
Not so long,
no,
really.
No. And we started on the hottest day ever recorded in the history of Europe near Siracusa in the Cave di Melilli. It was 48 degrees. And we ended on Etna.
When did you shoot it?
2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I was in Sicily on holiday in August. Very remember that.
Etna was busy exploding pretty much every 3 days.
Yeah.
So we were standby there. It was part of the risk factors
of
the film.
So just to close our interview, what's happening with the film? So the film is going around?
Yes, we started in Rotterdam, and it's been in... We have very, very fine festivals, surprising ones from like genre festivals, like Sitges unexpectedly in competition there, and from Brazil to Latvia to Thessaloniki to so some beautiful selections here and there. So it remains quiet. It's doing its quiet, slow journey, but that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot to Jessica Woodworth, director of the film Luca here in Torino for the Torino Film Lab section. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.